Welcome to Inbound Raleigh, a podcast about transportation in the City of Oaks. I'm Jennifer.
And I'm James. Today we'll be talking about accessibility when it comes to transit, and we'll talk more too about Wake County's TRAX program. A lot of people forget that those who often use transit are people who really rely on it to get around. So when you're supporting transit, whether you use it or not, you're supporting people who can't drive a car or who don't have access to other modes of transport. According to the 2000 census, there are about 49.5 million people 5 years and older in the United States with a disability. So that's about 20%, 19 if you want to be exact, of the U.S. population. There's also about 3.5 million people who just never leave their homes, and that's about 1% of the population.
Right, and so the reason this matters is that more than half of those homebound, about 3.5 million, are people with disabilities. All of this data comes from the Bureau of Transportation Statistics, by the way, and we're going to link to that page in our show notes. According to them, they say most people with disabilities do leave their homes 5 to 7 days a week, just like those without. But the numbers just drop drastically for people who need special equipment or assistance to travel.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I mean, think about it. If getting out of your house is a huge struggle, you're probably just not going to leave as often. And, you know, you might not think that's a big deal, but if you're stuck at home all the time and not by choice, you're a lot less likely to be really feel like you're a part of society, I guess you could say. You know, you may not be working, or if you are, you're working from home by yourself. You're not socializing as much. You're not getting involved in community events, going to church. I'm sure there's studies out there saying that kind of life can lead to depression. And, you know, to be honest, I've been living out of hotel rooms, not going out much over the past year. And I'll tell you, it's not much of a life, but at least in my case, it's a choice, which a lot of people don't have.
Right. And some people with disabilities do drive, but according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, those car modifications can cost anywhere from $20,000 to $80,000, which is just a lot of money. Some manufacturers offer rebates, of course, and there might be a tax break, and insurance might cover some of it. But, I mean, whatever, it's still it's a lot of money. My last car didn't cost $80,000.
Yeah, neither did mine. I can't imagine paying for a car and then doubling or tripling the cost of it just so you can use it. And, you know, people might be wondering about, well, what about taxis or private transportation companies? And a lot of them do provide accessible vans, but it's based on local ordinances. There's no kind of federal law requiring these things. And they can be pretty costly. So there are various options available, but there's clearly a need for the public public transit to come into play. You know, this actually came up a couple of years ago when Uber got some flack for its drivers turning away people in wheelchairs.
What? You mean Uber making news for the wrong reason? That's just weird.
Yeah, it's very unusual. Usually they just get nothing but praise for their business practices. So we'll have to see where this lands, but I guess Uber, Lyft, and other rideshare services are sort of operating in gray zone, and they say they aren't required to follow the Americans with Disabilities Act. Uber was sued earlier this year over this, not surprisingly. So we'll link to a story on this in the show notes. But in their defense, I guess, Uber has set up programs called Uber Assist and Uber Wave that are supposed to transport people with disabilities. But of course, they're not available in all of Uber's markets.
Right. And I think that was the point that was like, oh, well, then, you know, because you're not offering it to everybody, that's the problem. But the other interesting thing I found in that article too was the part of the problem is that taxi drivers are leaving taxi services to drive their own cars for Uber and Lyft. So, for example, in San Francisco, these taxi services, they have vans that can accommodate motorized wheelchairs, but now there's no one left to drive them. So there's all these vans just sitting there empty and not getting out there to help people.
Wow. I mean, yeah, it's just, I guess it's not a big surprise because I'm sure they make more money on their own, but it's just weird to think of all these taxi fleets, you know, sitting empty. But a lot of people probably do think technology is the solution. The New York Times did a piece talking about self-driving cars and how that might be an option. But, you know, for now, even self-driving cars, they require an able driver as a backup. So it'll be a long time before automated cars can operate without drivers under all circumstances.
Right, which I mean, that's just kind of interesting to think about. So maybe someday. But all related to technology, since we're discussing accessibility in general, it's important to think about what that means on all levels. So during one of our previous conversations with the Raleigh Transportation Planning Manager, he pointed out that many of us tend to want to think of technology as part of our transit options. So like you pull out your smartphone and look at your app and say, oh, you know, what time's the bus going to get here? But not everyone has a smartphone. So if you're thinking about being accessible, that's one more area to consider. You know, you got to make sure people who don't have a smartphone, because they're like $800, can still buy a bus pass or check the bus schedule, you know, in the quote unquote old school method.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's really a way that people have to look at these kind of problems, is not everyone is in the same boat as you or your friends. And so that brings us to transit solutions for local residents that are accessible to those with physical disabilities. Today, we're going to focus on TRACS. That's TRACS, no K. It's a transportation program that serves Wake County residents in some of the more rural areas of the county.
Yep, TRACS, it serves both people with disabilities and people who just live, you know, in the rural part of the county, like James said. I want to give a shout out to Alicia Arnold. She's the Wake County Division Director of Housing and Transportation. She answered some of our questions about this program. For starters, I wondered if TRACS, I mean, does this stand for anything? And she actually kind of laughed. Apparently, it used to, sort of. The TR stands for transportation. And the ACS meant access, but Alicia said it, obviously people find it a little bit confusing, and they might be rebranding, as TRACS is actually just part of this bigger thing called the Wake Coordinated Transportation Services Program, but people pretty much lump it all together and call the whole thing TRACS. And you know what, we're going to be with the trend on this one, and we're going to do the same thing, so just keep that in mind.
Well, I guess if they wanted to combine two acronyms, it could be WAC TRACS. You know, wait, County. well, whatever it stands for, it's an important service. And many of the people who use TRACS don't have easy access to regular public transit transportation. And we did discuss TRACS briefly back in episode 14, which I'm sure you all remember, which was the Wake Work Transit Plan. It's part of the move to connect all of Wake County's communities. And under that new plan, TRACS received $175,000 for additional rural services, which sounds pretty good, except according to Alicia, that just backfilled a previous cut in funding from the state. You know, two steps forward, one step backward kind of thing. So she said they'll anticipate the funding will continue to be part of the Wake County Transit Plan, but it'll get reviewed each year, so there's no guarantees.
Right. And in case you're wondering, the rest of TRACS funding comes from the NCDOT and some other local grants. A lot of that money is flow through from the Federal Transit Administration. And TRACS is also supported in a way by Medicaid, because it pays Medicaid pays for people who are covered by that service for their rides. So we've been talking about TRACS, which is a Wake County service, but I didn't want to leave out Go Access, which is a service you might see driving around Raleigh itself. This used to be called ART or ART, which stood for Accessible Raleigh Transportation. And this service is just for people with disabilities in the city of Raleigh. This service is required by law under the Americans with Disabilities Act. The ADA mandates that every public entity operating a fixed route transit system must provide complimentary paratransit service to those whose disabilities prevent them from using a bus or a rail system. So by law, Go Access has to offer comparable routes, hours of service, the fares, response time, et cetera.
And in order to use Go Access, though, a rider's trip must begin and end within 3/4 of a mile of a Go Raleigh bus stop. So you, and in addition to that, you've got to apply and get a physician to sign off on it. And the rides themselves are $250 each way and must be scheduled up to 24 hours in advance by calling to make a reservation.
Right. So basically, it's like, oh, well, you physically can't use the bus. Here's your option for Raleigh, but it has to sort of go along the same bus line route.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, TRACS, it's covering the entire Wake County, and not just for people with those, you know, with disabilities, but the trips that are covered by Medicaid do take priority. So it's first come, first served. After that, they might run out of room or run out of time. So you know, if you don't get your ride scheduled, you might be out of luck. But And just like Go Access, it's on demand, so you got to call and make a reservation 24 hours in advance.
Yeah, and one other big advantage for TRACS is that it picks the riders right up at their homes, so there's no need to worry about getting to that bus stop or to a place 3/4 of a mile away from a bus stop like with Go Access. And fortunately, drivers for both services are trained on how to secure wheelchairs in the vehicle. going to say, if you've ever seen them do that on one of the buses, it is a pretty complicated process. You wouldn't think it, but it is tough to get them securely in there. So
fees for tracks are kind of similar. If you're traveling within your zone, you're considered in zone, and then the fee is $2 for a one-way ride or $4 for round trip. But if you're traveling outside your zone, that's a $4 one-way trip and $8 for the round trip.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot cheaper than a cab ride or even a Lyft or an Uber, which is great. So, you know, a lot of our listeners are probably wondering, how many people use this Trax system? Well, we don't have exact numbers of people, but Alicia told us that the service performed 186,242 trips over the course of a year, which covered about 2.6 million miles. And of those trips, 80% were covered by Medicaid. So that's a big part of the program.
We wanted to get a bit more insight about Trax. So we spoke separately with James Benton. He is a Trax user sometimes, but he also sits on the Transportation Advisory Board, which oversees and provides input for Trax. And here's what he had to say about the program.
Wake County is so large. People don't really take into complete view the vastness of the county itself, over 850 square miles and 12 cities within that 850 square mile parameter, and yet still quite a bit of rural territory in the county as well. And so if persons are living outside of Cary, outside of Raleigh, outside of Morrisville, these people need to move to get to work, to get to medical appointments, to be able to engage the community, to enjoy leisure activities. And so Trax does a very nice job of making sure people have at least some general access to the community.
Yeah, and he also talked a bit about what we touched on at the beginning, which is the importance of not being stuck at home because you can't physically go places.
And they become what I sadly refer to as self-incarcerated. And when you think about it, you know, being incarcerated is really, really bad. Certainly, if you do something to earn it, you deserve that. But just thinking about it, it's a bad thing to not to be restricted as to where you can go and what you can do. And when it's self-imposed because of the inability to travel, that's really bad. Everyone loves being home and enjoying the place that they call theirs, whether you own it or rent it. That's where you sleep. That's home. And we all love being home, but no one wants to be home all the time.
Yeah.
We want the people to get out and breathe fresh air, go shopping, visit people, enjoy the leisure programming that's available throughout our county. And shopping, going to different places to shop. You know, there might be a Food Lion or Harris Teeter or Kroger 2 miles down the road, but maybe it's a chance to use Trax and get into the city and visit Trader Joe's or one of the newer stores that are coming, like Publix and places like that. And yeah. So transportation opens up your options for movement, and it gets you out of the house. And that's what I love to see people take advantage of.
So that's our show today. We hope you learned something about the Trax and Go Access programs, and hopefully you can share that with people who you know who need some help getting around.
Yeah, and listeners, we hope you'll share your feedback and ideas for shows with us. You can do that at inboundraleigh@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Inbound Raleigh at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Thanks again, and we'll catch you next time.